Welcome to episode 392 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps us make our world smaller and brings us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay and George. You'll also notice we have a very special guest here tonight. Hi, Franklin. Hi, Franklin. Franklin lives in Orlando, Florida, and is a road warrior with 1.1 million butt-in-seat lifetime airline miles, thanks to both his business travel and his leisure travel. I know, it is amazing.
That's amazing.
He gets upgraded all the time. He lives in upgrade status. We invited Franklin here tonight because he is a truly wonderful client, and he is especially knowledgeable in LGBTQ-friendly and welcoming travel, and also in solo travel. He recently sailed on a Vakaya charter to the Caribbean, and we wanted to get his perspective on what that's like to cruise this way as compared to other cruise vacations on standard itineraries. To give a bit more background on this topic, Vakaya is a company that charters ships and resorts for adult LGBTQIA plus guests. They are not the only company that does this, and we'll explore some of the differences from the traveler perspective between those companies as well. So let's get started. So first, I just wanted to sort of talk about what charters are. So a charter is a buyout, right? So whenever you sail on a ship where you did not purchase it through the cruise line itself, but through another organization, that is a buyout. It can also be an incentive. So if a company wants to take all of their top salespeople on a cruise, they might buy out the whole ship. Or even a resort. So you can buy out an entire resort. You may have experienced this before. So for our listeners, when we talk about a charter, LGBTQ is a very common kind of charter, but there are all sorts of charters. There can be knitting charters. The New Kids on the Block charter a ship for their fans. So there's a country music charter. Music is actually another reason people charter a lot. So just so you know what we're talking about, because we're just going to throw around the word charter a lot, and just in case you're wondering what is that exactly, that's what that is. Even Disney will charter ships sometimes. Turner Classic Movies charters a Disney ship every year and does like a big movie, old movie convention using their theaters and such. So that's what we're talking about. So Franklin, let's talk about your experience, because we talked about your airline experience, but right, how many cruises have you been on?
So let's see, I've been on 4 different cruises, three Norwegian, 1 Royal Caribbean, and the charter that was actually on a celebrity ship. So I've ranged from a 3-day, which has been my shortest cruise. Those are the ones that just kind of putter around the like the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And then my longest cruise was a 10-day cruise right after Thanksgiving. But I tend to really like the 7-day ships or itineraries. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. And how many of those cruises have you been on with other people that you know in your cabin?
So none. Actually, all of my cruises I have gone on by myself. And with solo traveling on a cruise, meaning it's going to be one person for the stateroom, for many years, it was not accessible to most people who are traveling solo, as you would have to essentially buy out the cabin and pay for 2 people for 1 cabin. So on many instances, it was very expensive. Now cruise lines, and that's how I started to get into cruising, are building ships that are going to have rooms designed for solo travelers, meaning one person by themselves, or they're offering solo discounts on their regular cabins on their older ships on certain itineraries. So instead of me paying for 2 people, I may be only paying for 1 1/3 or 1 1/2 people, but I still get the same cabin and amenities like everyone else.
Yeah.
So that's been my experience with solo traveling, is the cruise line industry is really making it a lot easier for solos to do. But this is for cruises with the cruise line directly. That does not apply to charters. So for my charter, for example, I did have to pay for 2 people because the charter company buys the ship out at a fixed price, and they have to gain back all of that room revenue, to pay for the ship.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And part of the reason I wanted to bring that up, first of all, we may talk a little bit about solo travel and sort of the advantages that Lindsay also travels solo a lot. So we've talked about that before on the
All the
podcast.
time.
But we want to also say that point out that Franklin, you don't travel solo because you have to. You do it by choice. You're a friendly person. You have friends.
Right.
I hate
This is
that
true.
misconception.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everybody
No,
knows
I know nobody. You're the only three people I know. No. I choose to travel solo by myself. I find it to give you the freedom to really do anything and everything that you do or don't want to do. As someone who a lot of people think I'm an outgoing person, I actually can be very introverted. Going out on a vacation like that kind of forces you to go and start talking to a random person. You see that they're having this fancy drink, and then all of a sudden you're having a 20-minute conversation with them, and now you're going to dinner and you're going to the show and you end up having, a great evening with that person or that group of people. So solo traveling really has made me open up and talk to more people and expand my friends to having friends pretty much all over the country and in a couple of different countries around the world.
And then you get to go back to your cabin and go into your little hole and recuperate from all that.
Exactly. That is a very great point, is that when you are tired out or when your social battery is drained, for those who are introverts, you have a place that you can say, this is my space and only I am in here, and you can use that place to recharge, relax, recover, and then go out again if you so choose. So having that space that you can call your own is very important to me, which is why I only travel on vacations by if I can have my own room, not just my own bed, but my own room.
Great. So, and that segues into sort of how I want to approach why you chose to do a charter, because you mentioned you can sail on some of the biggest cruise lines in a solo cabin where you just pay for you, no supplement. But with this charter, you had to make that sacrifice of paying for two people when you're just one. What made you say, I'm willing to try this? And there could be several
Right.
reasons.
So I think what you have to understand is with the charter, you're when the ship is completely chartered out, meaning everyone on the ship is booking through that charter company, is that you're usually going around some type of theme or event that is going to happen on the ship. So for me, the reason why I wanted to go on a charter is I wanted to go on a cruise that had a preponderance, if not almost everyone, was part of the LGBTQIA family. Not to say that we don't travel on regular cruises. Cruises have made strides in welcoming the LGBTQIA community. I'm probably just going to shorten that for everyone, so please don't offend it, because it's going to be a long night if I have to keep saying all those letters. So I'm not trying to leave everyone out, just to keep this short and sweet. But going on a regular cruise, there for any non-cisgender traveler, going on vacation can be a very stressful process about finding a location that's going to be welcoming. That's just number one. Number two, choosing the time of year, and then always kind of having your guard up. There's always a guard that a non-cisgender person has when traveling to make sure that they basically are not assaulted or worse. And I wanted a vacation where I didn't have to have that guard completely up. I could let that guard down because I was with people who also have had that same guard and want to be able to relax and truly be themselves even more so. And so that's why I chose a Vakaya to go and be surrounded by LGBTQIA plus people. And so that we could all be able to let our guard down and have fun without worrying that, someone's going to take offense to what would be a common joke in my community.
And did you find that to be true? Were you satisfied with the experience?
I did. I really, really did. You could tell that for me, the energy was completely different. You could tell people were really excited to be on vacation, and everyone, even just waiting in the line in the to get into the terminal to check in, everyone was there. Was there to have fun. They were there to meet new people. They were there to really let their guard down. And that's a vacation you don't always get, being someone who's not attracted to the opposite sex. So it was a great experience. There are lots of different companies that do LGBTQI plus vacations. Vakaya is one of them. There's others like Atlantis. There was one called RSVP vacations. All of them tend to cater towards different subsets. But I found with the Kai, you got the mixture of a party atmosphere. So for those that really like to dance and party, you know, 7 nights a week, they had the ability to do that. That's not me. I don't need to dance 7 nights a week. I may just want to sit at the lounge and just have a couple of beverages. We had tons of people who did just that every single night. So there was the ability to do a whole bunch of different things that you would do on a normal vacation, but you add an extra comfort level where you are relaxed. And I even said to someone on the ship when they were asking, how do I feel about it? I said, I feel like I took off this weighted blanket that I didn't know I had on whenever I went on vacation. And not having it on, you know, made me feel more confident in, you know, the type of swim trunks I decided to wear. So being able to openly and express yourself and be in a community that's, you know, saying, that's awesome, I'm glad you're having a great time, go ahead, express yourself the way you truly are, really does make a difference on a vacation. And to me, that was worth the cost of paying for the second person, who, of course, there was no second person for my room. To me, that comfortness the comfort that I had on the cruise being open was worth the extra money.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So cost-wise, I mean, I know that you are a budgeter. You're my client, so we talk about money a lot. Yes. So how did you feel the cost? You know, with a charter, I think some people might be scared that they just charge a whole lot. Like, they could charge whatever they want. So did you find it comparable to other cruise lines, despite the fact that you had to pay for two?
Right. It was more money. I will say a charter is significantly more money. And the reason why this is so the charter, you know, they have to pay for the ship. And they also have to pay for all of the entertainment. They are responsible as the charter company for providing all of the entertainment. So that means, for example, flying in a performer on one of the islands that we were docked at, the performer gets on the ship, performs, and then flies out that same night. So there's a lot more logistics of going on for a charter company to do their productions on a ship that does raise the cost. I think that answered your question.
Yeah, did it not? It did. Yeah. Okay. So this charter was with Celebrity. Celebrity has an all-in package where you can, I think that's actually Princess's term. Sorry. They all call it something different, but where you get your drink package and all of that. Talk about what the charter was able to do or not do to sort of compare to that.
So that's a very great point to bring up. So on many charters, the charter company, meaning Vakaya, Margaritaville, people, whomever's renting out the ship, will work with their ship provider, be it Celebrity, Royal Caribbean, whatever, to decide what things that they are going to offer to the guests. So you are really not considered, and actually let's talk about the booking process a little so that people understand. You're not technically a Celebrity guest. I was not a guest on Celebrity Cruise Lines. I was a guest of Vakaya that just happened to be on a Celebrity ship. So unless there was something strictly specific about my room, about the food, or about dining reservations that I needed, that only Celebrity could do because that's their system, all of my payment information went through Vakaya for the cruise. Now, to get to the drink package, because that's what a lot of people are interested in, this was something that different that Vakaya did. They allowed Celebrity to offer an unlimited drink package. So the terms like you see that are the all-in packages that Celebrity offers, or, you know, on Norwegian, on their 3-day cruises, they offer the beverage packages included in your fare. Those are not done on a charter. So the beverage package was separate, and they don't necessarily even have to offer the beverage package at all. And that's what Vakaya did. They offered us the beverage package so we could have unlimited beverages. And based on my experience on the ship, 80% plus of us on that ship had the beverage package, and the bartenders definitely earned all of their tips. They were saying that they were running really, really busy for the whole cruise actually. And what you'd find is that they would have mini tables set up during the day to supplement the regular bars that they had on the ship, because we tend to drink at a higher quantity on vacation. On LGBTQIA+ vacation.
Got all those letters in there. So yeah. So with that, you mentioned sometimes you can party, sometimes not. And I know some of the lines, like I think Atlantis, is fair to say, is all about the party. Like it's just one big party pretty much all the time. So with all that drinking and then there's some party, some not. Did you find it different from other cruises in the sense of did you have to trip over people, pass out in the hallway, or did you find that it was a pretty standard kind of?
I would say it was pretty standard. I didn't know, no, you weren't finding like people passed out in the hallway like it was like you're on spring break in a college dorm room. It was not like that whatsoever. But there were people who were enjoying their alcohol very much so and making sure they got their packages worth. I was certainly one of them on many, many days. But I didn't find it any less different. The differences were going to probably be the entertainment. Because they have a captive audience that they, a captive singular audience, the entertainment is going to be more geared towards who is famous amongst LGBTQIA plus people. That's one major difference. There is no Friends of Dorothy meeting on an LGBTQIA plus cruise because, well, we're everywhere.
It's one big meeting all the
exactly.
time.
What I will say, what was nice is that when a company charters a ship, they also get to work with the cruise line operator to determine where the ship goes. So it is on. So my particular cruise went to deep, deep Southern Caribbean to the ABC Islands, Aruba, and we actually went to Aruba and Curaçao. We didn't go to Bonaire, but they call those three the ABC Islands, which are pretty much off the coast of Venezuela. So we got to go to an island that we rarely get to go on a 7-day cruise. Out of Florida. It's just unheard of because of the travel time to and from. But when you're on a charter, they're able to do that and look for places that are going to be welcoming to the people that are on the boat.
And in the Caribbean, that's pretty much the ABC Islands and
Yes,
Mexico.
exactly. That's pretty much. Now, that's not to say like a lot of my other ships went on, the other cruises I went on that were directly through the cruise line went to other islands. But I just stayed on the tour and just got back on the ship. Whereas here, those islands, I kind of felt it was more comfortable for me to wander around, wearing something like this, during the day. This is actually a very nice athletic style shirt, so it keeps you nice and cool. But wearing something like this, I felt comfortable enough to do that and not worry if what I'm wearing is going to put me in a potential position I don't want to be in that could be dangerous to me or to someone else in my travel group.
So that weighted blanket you were talking about on the ship is also true on land for
It
you.
is. It is as long as they are going to ports of call that are welcoming. And that's pretty much going to be the ABC Islands and Saint Thomas, not well, Saint Thomas is in the Virgin Islands. Saint Martin is also very friendly as a Dutch colony. So there are a couple of places to go, but I'm glad that this cruise the charter company really picked the right destinations for us.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So would you do it again? Like, is this something you want to keep doing?
It is, but like for me, I chose this as a splurge. Since I was on Celebrity, I splurged and did an Aqua Class balcony, which normally, as Elizabeth can tell you, I'm normally in an inside cabin because I'm a solo traveler, so those are usually the least expensive. And I decided to splurge because this was the Franklin's 40 years around the sun celebration. That was the start of it. My birthday's in December, so I used the January trip as my kickoff celebration. And I definitely would do it again. It will, it is an expensive vacation. I think all in between a hotel before and a hotel after, if I didn't use points, my hotel points from traveling for work, plus the cruise, I was looking at around $8,000. So it was not an inexpensive trip, but it was something that is very worthwhile, and I would definitely do it again. Now, I am a person who travels who needs to have my own space. What's nice about these charter companies, they understand that these vacations come at a premium. And it's not just Pacaya, it's all of the LGBTQIA plus charter vacation organizations. And many of them will have a room match program. So you'll be able to say, I'm traveling by myself. I know other people that are booking with you are traveling by yourself. Can you just match us up? And they'll do that. some people have had great experiences. Some people have had not so great experiences. I happen to have anxiety and I'm not going to be able to have that and wonder what's going to happen. So I decided to book my own room. Now, be it since this was in January of 22, a lot of COVID protocols were still in effect on the ship. So one, everyone, and since everyone was 18 and above, every last person on our cruise was vaccinated, as you needed to be. They only accepted vaccinated adults, and we still had to have a test, an antigen or PCR test, at least 48, at most 48 hours before the cruise. So those were some of the things in progress, and actually they did a lot of contact tracing. So security, if someone presented symptoms, would be taken down to the medical bay and be tested. And they would then either be isolated into a separate section of the ship, or they would just quarantine in their room while they were awaiting test results. But security would go back through footage every single day and actually look for people who were in close contact with someone who is being tested or has tested positive for COVID on the ship, and actually then say, we now need to get you tested and have you quarantined for 24 hours. So they were very aggressive with minimizing the possibility of a COVID outbreak. Now, there was one on the ship, but it looked like down to patient zero was actually a crew member.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So it wasn't even a guest that caused that. And I'm talking, they, by outbreak, I mean, I think at most 50 people out of a 3,000 person ship were put into quarantine. So it was very well managed and controlled. One thing I did is I'm thinking of differences between charter vacations and cruise lines is your cancellation policy. Mm-hmm. So with a cruise line, they tend to have a pretty generous cancellation policy. Yeah, 90 days out, you can't get a refund, but up to 120 days out, you may get up to 100% back. With a charter, you really want to make sure you read the cancellation policy, because there is not going to be a refund if you try and cancel. So what most people end up doing, and they do this on Facebook and such, is that they will sell their room to another person in order to recoup their money that they can't go on the cruise. So that's something to keep in mind, is if you're hesitant about it, you definitely are going to want to look into, of course, travel insurance, and also making sure if you are still on the fence and not be able to do it, make sure you're in looking for Facebook groups surrounding your cruise, even just to talk to people beforehand, but to find people who may be willing to buy your cabin out in case you can't go, because $4,000 to $6,000 to $8,000 is a lot of money to lose, mm-hmm. and not get back and then still not go on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. So talking about the Facebook group, that actually sort of reminds me of another way to compare. Am I correct in that Vakaya actually had a managed Facebook group for this cruise? Is that correct? Like you were invited to their Facebook group, whereas a normal cruise, somebody who's on the cruise starts it and other people find it, right?
Exactly. So they were actually very great at managing that. They did have a Facebook group that they had Vakaya representatives as the moderators talking about what's going on with the ship, sharing, who are going to be the performers on the ship every single day. And then there were also other people just having conversations and talking about their cruise experiences, sharing things like, where do I get my COVID test done? I'm running low on COVID tests. So someone would say, hey, I have one of those proctored COVID tests in my bag. I have an extra one. You can definitely use this one. So you actually were able to build sort of a community even before being on the ship. So that really is what I think helps a lot, is that you're able to see that it's not just you that is a solo traveler. There are other people who are solo travelers. There are people who have done this and have only gone on LGBTQIA+ vacations, and this is their 20th one. So you get to meet a whole cornucopia of people before even getting on the ship.
Excellent. Well, I can tell you from the travel agent perspective, this is a great company to work with. And not a lot of charters are like that. Oftentimes charters don't even work with your travel agent. So it was nice that you were able to work with me to book this, whereas a lot of charters will not work with the travel agent community at all because of the costs involved. So that was super nice. You brought up another thing that I want. Oh, performer. Who performed? Tell us who.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we had... she used to go as Amber Riley. So she performed, she was Mercedes on Glee. Mm-hmm. We had, who else performed? We had Shandala, who is a very famous drag queen. perform on the ship. That was one of the big shows. We had two comedians perform. Basically, every night there was at least two different performances going on. One in the main venue, one somewhere else, like a comedy show, something more low key, or someone doing more of a cabaret piano experience. And then you had your two big performances in the main theater. And then at the evening, you would then have a DJ doing a dance party. And so one thing about this particular cruise, or at least LGBTQIA plus cruises, is that we like to dress up. So that means a lot of themes. So every tea dance, which for those who are not familiar with a tea dance, is that's usually an afternoon dance on a Sunday. But in this case, we did it just in the afternoon at the pool deck. And then you have the nighttime at, 10, 11 o'clock, where you're dancing. And each one of those dances had a different theme. Some of the more ones that I can talk about, there was an 80s cartoon friendly themed one. So we would dress up as a cartoon. Let's see what else. There was, This Is Me. So that was on the first night to kind of show off who you are. So for me, I love Disney. So I wore I had light up Disney ears. I had some Disney shorts, my Gucci Disney sneakers, which I only wore that one night on the ship for 20 minutes because I wasn't getting them ruined by the pool. But it was enough for people to see. That was the point. And then there are other themes that, really cater to the type of audience that is on the ship as well at night.
So speaking of that audience, what was the age, you said this is your 40th year around the sun.
Yeah.
What was the age range? Obviously 18 is the youngest.
Correct. 18 is the youngest, as it's an all adult cruise. I would say the age range really went from mid 20s, which is kind of, you did a bell curve. You're at mid 20s is kind of on the low end. And then you're going up to the 30s, 40s, probably about 40, as I try and scoot back so you can see my hand at the top of the bell curve. Probably about the mid 40s to mid 50s, we're at the top, and then it comes down from there. But really, age really didn't matter. I mean, I think I probably had conversations with someone who was 19, and it was a great, amazing conversations. And then, I'm having conversations with someone who was 60, that this is their 19th LGBTQIA plus cruise. So you have the age range is so diverse, at least for mine. It was very diverse in order to really allow you to have the conversations with pretty much anyone on the ship.
Were there any allies on the ship? Fakaya told us allies are welcome because we were like, this sounds really fun.
There were. I don't know if I met them, but there were rumors that there were straight people on the ship besides the crew.
We don't talk to those people.
No. It's funny. There was nothing. If you are an ally and you have gone out with your LGBTQIA plus friends and gone to their clubs, the dances, their parties, and you have been in their culture, it is a very similar experience being on the ship. There are some places you probably wouldn't go and leave that just for your friends, but 98% of the ship was pretty much, you'd feel welcomed as an ally.
So are you sad to be going on your next cruise that's just a normal run-of-the-mill cruise? Are you going to miss that that atmosphere?
I'm not sad that I am not going on a LGBTQIA plus chartered ship for my next cruise in December. There are plenty of land-based LGBTQ vacations that I can still go on between now and then. That I can use to fulfill that. This one is really about bringing together my family and my close friends to help celebrate my 40th birthday. So, and that's exactly what I wanted for that 40, for that December trip. So I'm not sad at all. It's going to be a different environment. There'll be, a lot less LGBTQIA plus people on it. I think at the beginning of the show, we should tell someone, I'll send them a $5 gift card if they count how many times I say that phrase.
Well, you didn't stumble over it the way I did at the beginning. So,
no.
And congratulations, because I say it all the time too, but for some reason, when it's there in front of me and I have to,
you have to read it and say it.
I have to read it and say it. And we should go ahead and give a shout out, because NCL is your normal, Norwegian is your normal, you know, you have played the field a little bit, but
yes,
Norwegian.
I have. Sorry.
And part of that is for the solo cabins. Yes.
Yes. So Norwegian was the first cruise line to actually build a ship with solo travelers in mind. It was their breakaway or getaway, whichever, that series breakaway. Of ship. The breakaway, the getaway, and since their other ships like the Epic and their the Prima Escape. And such, yes, and the Escape, have solo cabins. And a lot of other cruise lines have learned from them. So Norwegian, their solo cabins are all interior cabins. Royal Caribbean has actually taken that to the next level, and they are actually offering a faux, I would say a French balcony type cabin, where all of the windows can open up to into the ceiling to give you that balcony feel, but the cabin is for one person. So we're seeing a lot more cruise lines understand that there is an untapped market with solo travelers. Solo does not mean they are inexpensive or budget travelers. They are travelers who will spend money and can be very profitable for a cruise line. They just want their own space. And they don't feel that they should have to always pay for two people to get the space of one.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's Oceana. Exactly. The luxury lines have taken note too. And mm-hmm. there are
the
several
river cruises.
Solo.
Yeah. The river cruises also will waive solo supplements. And we should say Virgin Voyages also has purpose built their yes. ships with solo cabins as well. So I think that we're seeing that more and more with new builds, that they're all across the board. They're sort of taking that to heart.
That's true. You do see it a lot more with the new build ships where they have the solo cabins. And what you'll find is, depending on the itinerary for their older ships, they will not, the single supplement is not 100% of one person. So I'm not paying for two people. So they're starting to see, even on their ships where they don't necessarily have staterooms designed, there are itineraries that maybe not be as busy, but it's still in their busy season, where it's advantageous to lower the price of the cabin for a solo person and get that cabin filled.
Yep.
Now, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. You can ask four.
Four questions.
So
okay.
One.
So you sailed on, you've sailed on Royal and you've sailed on Norwegian. What I've been in the solo on Royal ship, but one thing that's always intrigued me about the Norwegian solo area is it has its own little lounge area and meetups that where you can sign up. Do you take advantage of that when you are?
So.
Wait, if you're not allowed to answer that.
Then... No, I'm not allowed to answer. It's that I may have sent a letter to a vice president and a captain of a ship about my solo meetup experience.
Oh, no.
No, so on Norwegian, they do their solo cabin, since they are interior, they also have a little solo lounge area, which has like snacks and has a bartender staff for like 2 hours a day during their meetup, where they have someone from the cruise director's team come and meet with you and try to arrange things together for you solo travelers as a group. It is very dependent on who your solo cruise line, for lack of a better term, director is, that is going to make or break the experience, because they can either do the things that they said they were going to do, or they can get a letter sent to their director and their captain saying, these are the three ways that this person failed the solo group. So it's very dependent on who is going to be managing that on it. Do I think it's necessary? I don't think so. I actually think having that place that solo group meetup kind of hindered you, because it was always during 5 and 6 o'clock. So I would have to run to that, then go to the LGBTQIA+ meetup. So I was constantly running around. So I kind of felt as though we didn't necessarily need that extra space on the ship. I mean, it was empty about 98% of the day. It was only really busy in the morning, where they had like fresh, like little croissants and such and coffee. And then in the evening when we had our 1 hour meetup, otherwise that place was dead empty. So if you're thinking of going on, if someone's thinking of going on a cruise as a solo person, I wouldn't find the cabin that you like. If it's an interior, great. If they offer, you know, a faux balcony one, even better. But don't expect the cruise line to help you make your cruise. That is something, as a solo traveler, you have the ability to do on your own and take advantage of doing whatever, whenever you want. And I think that's really important to keep in mind, is that they're there, they can help, but I strongly suggest you look at the itinerary, you look at your daily itinerary of what's going on the ship, and pick and choose what you wanted to do. Or throw out the paper and just lounge at the pool and just get served drinks all day. That's one way
nice
to make
for
up
all travelers, not just solo travelers.
This is true.
You make your cruise, you make your vacation, and the attitude that you take with you makes it.
Yeah, a cruise has those things built in, right? If you're sitting lounging by the pool, there's probably somebody sitting beside you, and you could just as easily, when they order the same drink that you like, you can strike up a conversation. When they're reading a book, assuming it's not a Kindle and you can tell what it is that you're interested in, you can strike up that conversation. If you're at the bar, just like if you're at a bar anywhere, you can strike up a conversation. So it's all, cruises are already built for meeting people, even if you normally go with people you know.
And I will say some cruise lines take that to the next level, though, because Virgin Voyages, I will say hands down, that entertainment is designed for you to interact with other people and to get out of your pod. And it's such a unique experience that as a solo person, I think that's going to be my go-to for solo travel.
Oh, you're but trying to sell me on.
I will tell you, Franklin,
there's
I will
a long
say that
story there.
So there, yeah there's a whole lot. So I will tell you that the experience I had as a solo versus having with, you know, you're talking before about how you, as a solo, you can do your own thing. You meet more people. I find when I travel with someone, I miss a lot of those opportunities because you're focused on the person you're with and you're connecting with them, which is great. But I think in certain areas, it kind of, I don't know. I'd love to hear what you think of it if you ever get on.
I will eventually bite the bullet and go on a Virgin Voyages cruise. I'm trying to get to the point, since I'm status aficionado, I'm trying to get to the point where I choose one cruise line and stick with them. Here's one interesting thing about solo cruising. If you are someone who likes status levels. So normally on a cruise line, you get a number of points. Each person in the cabin gets a certain number of points for that cabin, and more points if they booked into a higher cabin. If you are the only one in that cabin, you get both sets of points. Mm-hmm. So you get to climb the ladder a lot faster if you have your own room. So that's something to keep in mind, that they, since you're almost paying for two people sometimes, or are paying for two people, you are going to get the points for two people.
One of the reasons, sort of going back to the Virgin thing and also the writing a letter to the manager, Franklin is one of those people, I'm sure you can tell, who has very strong opinions. And so he also, that's kind of why I wanted to have him on, because when he praises something, you know that it's really, really good. He's got high standards. But also, he's my client that I call the cruise and I'm like, I need you to make a note. Don't make this guy mad because you will regret it. Just don't make him mad.
All right. So this is making me sound like I am a Karen. I am I will say this. I will give people an opportunity to fix things. I always say, it's not a me against you, it's an us against the problem. Let's work the problem, not work me. And when you're working a customer, you're not working the problem, you're letting the problem sit and fester and just let it metastasize essentially until the customer kind of explodes. I don't get to the explosion part. I'm going to sit and calmly write a letter to, you know, the captain of your ship, and maybe the vice president of operations, and let them know about what the displeasure was, because sometimes it's not going to be resolved right in that moment. They don't have the power. You need to understand that. And that's with any type of customer service situation. Sometimes the person you're talking to doesn't have the power, and you're not going to be able to get someone who has the power to fix your problem right then and there. So you may have to accept the problem, but take note of it and let someone know who has the ability to either prevent it from happening in the future or throw you some goodwill about your experience. But at the end of the day, you still need to be nice to literally every person on that ship, from the person who is making your cabin twice a day, because those cabins get messy on an LGBTQIA+ ship. They get messy. To, you know, your cruise director. And actually, there are two cruise directors, one on a charter ship. You have the normal one that the ship has. They usually don't really see them a lot. And then you have the one for the charter company, because they, again, are responsible for all of the entertainments. That includes the what would basically fall underneath the purview of the cruise director.
And I do want, so I don't want you to sound like a Karen. I've read his letters, and they're very good because they say, here was the problem. Here's what I did to try and help to fix. Here's what happened that either did or didn't fix the problem. And then here's, I wanted you to know about it. It's never, yeah. It's never bad, bad, bad. So yeah, I did not mean to do that.
No, I know.
Actually, it's one of the things I really love too, because it's always very honest and constructive criticism. So I just hope that I never get a letter.
Well, you're the owner. You're the owner.
So I know. I know.
So like my travel agent, who was the owner, and she's just gonna, I feel like that would go in something, you have this little box next to your desk that turns paper into pulp, and that's where it would be filed.
I do have a shredder right by my desk. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of Outlander Travel. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. Once again, sorry to cut you off there, Franklin, but we want to thank you for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me here. I had a great time talking about that experience.
Well, you got to do something else cool so that we can invite you back.
I will certainly try, but it will not be hiking. I'm not a hiker, so it's not going to be like I'm hiking, no camping, no hiking, no RVing. So it won't be any of that. Sorry.
Nope. We wouldn't want to talk about that anyway.
We don't really like that stuff.
Yes. So on behalf of George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. Oh, and Lily Bell, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.